there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and it's great to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio for another episode of the Gary Zimak Show. On today's program, we will hear from Elizabeth Scalia, who recently wrote a column about the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops convocation that took place in Orlando, Florida. This is a really important convocation that determined that you and me and all baptized Catholics are called to be missionary disciples. I know that sounds really scary, but all that means is you and me, we need to get out into the world and share the good news with those around us. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to travel to a foreign country, which is what you typically think of when you hear about being a missionary, but we're called to bring the good news to the world that often can be a very dark place. We're going to talk about that message in that pre-recorded interview that I did on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning. We'll also look at the Mass readings for Tuesday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time. Let's begin with prayer, and then I want to share something with you, something that I talked about last night. I want to give you a little bit of an update today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. We thank you. We are so grateful that you are with us right now. You are with us. You are present where we are. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us, to continue to walk with us, to continue to inspire us, to continue to pour out your Holy Spirit, to allow him to come alive in us so that we can share the good news with everyone around us. Jesus, thank you for being born. Thank you for living among us. Thank you for dying. Thank you for rising from the dead so that we could be redeemed. Sometimes we let entire days go by and don't thank you for that. So I'm going to say thank you right now, Lord, for that. We're very grateful. We ask you, Lord, to bless all of those who listen to this program. We ask you to bless all of our families. We ask you to bless and help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with addiction. We ask you to bless them, to protect them, to heal them, to help them. We lift up our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to increase vocations. We ask you to put an end to abortion in the world. And I ask you to speak through me, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to speak through me so that your words can go forth over the airwaves on this program. We ask for these things in your name, Jesus, because we know you love us, and we know that along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you're constantly present in our lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. All righty. Welcome to the show. Really is good to have you here for this Tuesday edition of the program. I wanted to let you know that I am headed out of town on Thursday and Friday, headed to Cleveland, Ohio, to speak at my final homeschooling conference of the season. I've done a lot of them over the summer. This is the final one. I am not sure, I'm not 100% sure if I will have programs on Thursday and Friday. I'm going to try to do it, but I'm never sure. The time's running out, and I've got some things to do with the morning show, so I'm not sure. If they're not there, I don't want you to panic. And I apologize in advance. Sometimes it is hard when I'm traveling, but I'm going to try to get the shows done. We'll see what happens. Say a prayer for me, if you will. One thing I wanted to mention yesterday, I touched on this idea of the Patreon page. Patreon is a platform that allows artists, podcasters, videographers to produce material and ask for contributions or ask for people to partner with them financially so that these things can be produced. I am working on setting up a Patreon page right now. Now, last night I said it might be a video series. Here's what I'm thinking. What I'm planning is, if you're a worrier, you want to hear this. If you're a worrier, the plan is I will be doing a weekly podcast. And I'm not sure of all the details. I'm still trying to work out the technical aspects of this. A weekly podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And there will be different tiers based on contributions, because really what I need to do is get some contributions so I can go forward with the project. And that's the way this whole Patreon thing works. It's going to be very nominal. It's not going to be expensive at all. But really what I'll do is I'll produce a weekly podcast, and then there will be the option to also get, I'm thinking 2 or 3 minute updates Monday through Friday, and then a Sunday podcast. So there'll be three tiers, three different levels of pricing in order to be able to access it. So if you're a worrier and you want to hear more, stick with this show. I will tell you more as soon as I get the information about it. And this show is not going away, and this show will still remain free of charge. I depend on your donations to keep this going. And you know me, I don't like to talk about this. I don't like to ask for anything, but I can't do it without your help. There's just no way. Financially, I am not in a position to do this without your help, so that's why I ask for your help. But I just think that there is, my fellow worriers need some help getting through the day. So I'm going to do Bible verses. I'm going to do inspirational talk. A lot of the things that I do in my talks, my parish missions, and things that you hear me do on EWTN Radio. I want to package them into a podcast. I've never done a podcast for worriers before, and I think the time is right to do that. But I still have to work out a lot of the technical details. Just know it's coming. If you're somebody who worries, know that it's coming. The other piece of news is the Worriers Retreat. Stop worrying and start living at the Malvern Retreat House. It's coming up August the 4th through the 6th. There are still slots available. It's the third year that I'll be leading this retreat. We have sold out for the past 2 years, so don't miss your chance. I can't wait to meet you. If you're a worrier and want to come to this retreat, please check it out. You can go there in two ways. Number one, you can go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, and click on the link for the retreat. You'll see it right there. The other thing that you can do is go to malvernretreat.com. and do a search on Stop Worrying and Start Living. I think they have it on the front, on the homepage. You could register that way. So time is running out. Stop Worrying and Start Living retreat at the Malvern Retreat House. It was amazing for the past 2 years. If you need any more information, send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. Alrighty, let's take a look at these Mass readings for today, the Tuesday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading comes from the book of Exodus. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. A certain man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman who conceived and bore a son. Seeing that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took a papyrus basket, daubed it with bitumen and pitch, and putting the child in it, placed it among the reeds on the riverbank. His sister stationed herself at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to bathe while her maids were walking, or while her maids walked along the riverbank. Noticing the basket among the reeds, she sent her handmaid to fetch it. On opening it, she looked, and lo, there was a baby boy crying. She was moved with pity for him and said, "It is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" "Yes, do so," she answered. So the maiden went and called the child's own mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take the child and nurse it for me, and I will repay you." The woman therefore took the child and nursed it. When the child grew, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her son, and called him Moses, for she said, "I drew him out of the water." On one occasion, after Moses had grown up, when he visited his kinsmen and witnessed their forced labor, he saw an Egyptian striking a Hebrew, one of his own kinsmen. Looking about and seeing no one, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out again, and now two Hebrews were fighting. So he asked the culprit, "Why are you striking your fellow Hebrew?" But the culprit replied, "Who has appointed you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses became afraid and thought, "The affair must certainly be known." Pharaoh, too, heard of the affair and sought to put him to death. But Moses fled from him and stayed in the land of Midian. You see the example of divine providence in the life of Moses. And I'm not nobody's condoning the fact that Moses killed somebody. It goes to show that even the most important people in the story of salvation history were not free from sin, right? Moses was definitely imperfect. But you see, God planned for Moses to do what he did, to lead the Israelites out of slavery. So in order for that to happen, he needed to make sure Moses remained alive. And that's what we see here. If you want to take one message from this first reading, it's God's providential care for each one of us, and the assurance that if God wants something to happen, it'll happen. And I think that can make us all feel a little bit better when we struggle with making the wrong decision. I'm afraid to do this because I might mess up, or somebody is out to get me and they're going to mess up my plans. Listen, if God wants you to do something, it will happen. We have to trust that. Even if we mess up, even if we make mistakes, even if somebody tries to sabotage our work, if God wants it to bear fruit, he'll allow it to happen. So that's the story. It's kind of cool reading through these stories over the past several weeks from salvation history, because we see how the Savior, the process to deliver the Savior is unfolding. And look, it's a process. It really is. Turn to the Lord in your need is the responsorial psalm, and you will live. Psalm 69. I am sunk in the abysmal swamp where there is no foothold. I have reached the watery depths. The flood overwhelms me. But I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God, and your great kindness. Answer me with your constant help. But I'm afflicted and in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See you, lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor and his own who are in bonds. He spurns not. This, again, is a reminder of the fact that God listens to our prayers. If we need him, we need to just ask him for whatever it is that we need, and he can help us. But we're not going to get that help if we don't turn to him. We need to ask him. We need to say, Lord, please help me. The Lord hears the cries of the poor. You've heard that before. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. The gospel is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, O Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted in heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. This is a chilling message from Jesus. There's no doubt about it. This is not an easy message for us to listen to, but it's a warning. It's a wake-up call. It's a, hey, pay attention message coming directly from Jesus. We have these teachings. Now, for me, I'm doing this show. I'm speaking on the radio in Philadelphia. I do TV. I do EWTN radio. I do a lot of work for the Lord, spreading the good news. I also read a lot, and I've also been exposed to a lot of teaching from the Catholic Church. So therefore, I've heard everything. I've heard a lot of things that I can't ignore. Maybe the average Catholic has not heard some of the things that I've been exposed to. And really, the average Catholic is not in the public eye as I've been blessed to be able to be. So I've got a certain responsibility. I'm going to be held to a higher standard than some other people. And there'll be other people that are held to an even higher standard than I am. We can't just say, I know all these things, but you know what? I don't really care. We have to care. We have to realize that this message of repentance is directed to each one of us. I have to be repenting every day of the sins that I commit. I do things that I shouldn't do, and I need to ask the Lord every day, and I try to do it. Lord, what did I mess up, and how can I improve? And we're all called to do that every day. And Jesus is saying, look, wake up. Wake up. You have me. We have the full revelation of our Heavenly Father in the person of Jesus Christ. Back in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, back in the time of Moses, back in the time of Abraham, that wasn't the case. We have Jesus now. There is no more revelation. It's gone. So we can't make excuses. One day we'll be judged. Let's just make sure we're ready. Jesus is warning us. We've seen, we've heard. Are we listening? Are we willing to put what we hear into practice? That's the message. Don't panic. As long as you do that, you're fine. But be careful. Every day, do an examination of conscience. What did I do wrong? Holy Spirit, help me. Help me know, Holy Spirit, where did I mess up? How can I get better? Please help me to get better. When we come back, Elizabeth Scalia is going to be talking about the recent Catholic convocation in Orlando. Hope you can stay tuned. You're listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Never call yourself a bad person, but rather a saint in training. That's the advice of former director of the Christophers, Father John Couture, and it's a truth he learned from his years counseling people as part of his priestly ministry. During a Christopher close-up interview, Father Couture said, "If you have a belief that you're not a good person, even though you're trying to be good, that undermines your mental health, and it has to be rooted out. If you can't say you're a saint, you can say, I'm a saint in training, I'm a good person, and I'm trying to get better." Father Couture concluded, "But there's no way that you should ever say you're a bad person, because God made you, and everything God made is good." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Recently, the U.S. CCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, sponsored a convocation of Catholic leaders in Orlando, Florida. You're probably aware that it happened, but many people are wondering, well, what exactly was the purpose of that, and does it affect me in any way? Well, Elizabeth Scalia recently wrote an article. What was Catholic Convo actually about? Well, hold on to your hats. This got my attention, and I invited her on the show to talk about it. Elizabeth is she's the editor-at-large at Alatea.org. She's the award-winning author of Strange Gods, Unmasking the Idols in Everyday Life, and Little Sins Mean a Lot, Kicking Our Bad Habits Before They Kick You. She joins us now to talk about this, and I think you're going to be surprised at the outcome of this convocation. Elizabeth, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on the show to talk about this. So, we're supposed to become missionaries?
Yes, basically that was the gist.
Wow.
of the convocation in Orlando, which I, like most of us, had to kind of watch from afar.
Mm-hmm.
But 3,000 people and something like 80 U.S. bishops descended on Orlando, and they weren't at all looking for Mickey Mouse or Minnie or a ride on Thunder Mountain. They were kind of doing their own little Thunder Mountain thing in exploring the Evangelium Gay, Gaudia Evangelii. Oh, you know, it's a little early in the morning. You know,
I hear
you.
The joy of the gospel. That's what I like to always say.
Thank you. The joy of the gospel.
Right, it's easier.
Anyway, excuse me. So they got together, and it was a time for parishes. Bishops to invite the leaders of their parishes. This wasn't, you know, every mover and shaker in Catholic media.
Right.
Although there were some celebrities there, you know, Audrey Assad was there, and Matthew Marr, and a lot of other good musicians. But it was mostly parish leaders, just the people in the pews, the people on the parish councils. And it was all about, you know, what are we going to do? What's our plan for, you know, taking the joy of the gospel and actually putting it out there? And as I was listening to Bishop Barron and Sean O'Malley and all of them, that's what I kept hearing. We are about to become missionaries. And that's a pretty exciting and also slightly scary idea.
It is, because I think as Catholics, we sometimes like our comfort zone, and we don't like to be told that we're supposed to evangelize. A lot of us think that, well, no, that's not my job. That's the priest's job. That's the deacon's job. That's the bishop's job. Me, I just go to Mass. But we are called, right?
Right, go to Mass. I put my envelope in.
That's right.
You know, maybe I sing in the choir, and that's you know, I'm doing my bit, and that is certainly doing your bit,
right?
You know, it keeps the church going, it helps the community of the church at worship, it brings us together for this all important thing, But there's more to it than that. We're going to start reaching out to the people we don't normally talk to because the world is so divided. This is such a timely thing because this is such a divided world and such a distracted world. And if you think about, you know, where does a missionary go? The missionary goes to the place where they do not know the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And they bring Jesus to him. This is missionary stripped down to the early church level, the first missionary, St. Thomas, going to India, you know, places like that. And these are people who have never heard the name of Jesus. They don't know the good news. We, as missionaries, in a way, almost are going to have something more difficult to do because we're going to be missionaries in this new land that's kind of an untamed, faithless jungle where live streams leave no room for casting out into the deep and they bear no relation to living waters. You know, this is a place full of relativistic engagement. And everything that we've always known has kind of become unfamiliar and strange to them, right down to, you know, simple biology. You know, nothing is being looked at properly. So you have these situations, and then you have the added difficulty with the fact that, you know, these people have heard the name of Jesus. Maybe they've heard it a million times. Maybe they think they know all about him, and they've been completely dismissive because Jesus is the head of the big church of no.
Right.
You know, so now this is an added difficulty because now what is the evangelical plan to get these people to understand that they've got among many wrong ideas in their heads, a wrong idea about the church.
That's right.
And that isn't, we stand at a street corner and we yell at them that they're sinners and Jesus is going to get them and they're going to go to hell unless they're saved. It means we do what Jesus did. And Jesus was the ultimate incarnational missionary, you know.
Right.
And he did what all the missionaries who were effective did afterwards. He went to the people and lived with them and ate with them and got to know them and helped them bury their dead, and not just above them but among them and with them. And that's kind of the big, giant, enormous challenge to us. Get to know the people that you think you have nothing to say to. And then after you've seen them and gotten to know them, you teach them about Jesus.
I love it. And you're hitting on a couple of key points that are just critical. That division, and I see it on social media, I see it just in the world in general, that division not only exists between Catholics and non-Catholics, I'm seeing division within the Catholic Church itself.
Some very serious division within the Church, and it's very, very painful for all of us. Those of us who are engaged in media, we have to look at every story and say, okay, who is this going to offend? Because
there's almost
a point where everybody has a built-in offense mechanism, not a defense mechanism, an offense mechanism, where it's like, let me look at this article and see what I can be angry about today. You can almost predict what the email responses are going to be to something.
I know.
It's really sad, because that means people have stopped thinking and everybody's on autopilot.
Exactly. And the thing is, I look around and I see Catholics, I see people in general, but I see Catholics who are not joyful, who are miserable for any number of different reasons. Some of the things, they just seem to want to be miserable, and it's up to us to try to change that. One of the points that you make in the blog post, and I really loved this, you said, after all, good missionaries do not demand holiness of people before they are allowed to meet Jesus. Rather, they allow people to meet Christ Jesus, and he fosters within them a desire to become holy. I think sometimes we get that backwards.
Wow, that's good.
Well, that's the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, even if the apostles didn't like someone, or even if they said, what were you doing talking to that person? That's the wrong person for you to be talking to.
Right.
Nobody was kept from Jesus. They were allowed to have an encounter with him, and the encounter with Christ is what made people turn around and say, hey, you know, come see a guy who told me everything I've ever done wrong in my whole life. And people, I love that story because it's so full of instruction, and one of the first bits about it is that Jesus didn't come up to this woman at the well and say, hey, you're a lousy Samaritan woman, but I'll condescend to talk to you anyway.
Get me a drink,
woman. You know, he didn't do that. He sat down and he had a conversation with her. And during the conversation, he said, hey, you know, if you drank this living water, you know, you'd never be thirsty again. And she's like, hey, well, tell me about that water, because I'm tired of hauling it back and forth every day.
That's right.
And, you know, let me get my husband. And he's like, well, you don't have a husband.
Right.
And she said, I don't have a husband. He goes, well, yeah, that's true. You've had five of them.
Yeah.
And what I love about that is, even though he told her the truth about herself, he didn't do it in a way that says, you know, you're a sinner.
Exactly.
Instead, he just kept talking to her about heaven.
Exactly.
Acknowledged where her sin was, acknowledged that she was not living her life correctly.
Right.
But didn't badger her about it, and just kept talking about heaven.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's the perfect missionary message.
Exactly. And that encounter with Christ has to happen first. And that's what we try to do here on this show. I mean, that's what, it's a challenge sometimes, but I'm not going to win souls for Christ by telling somebody what a big sinner he is, right? I mean, let me introduce him to Christ first and say, hey, we're all sinners. Meet my friend Jesus.
Yeah, and that's really the way it has to be done. Somebody was talking to me, not too happy with this piece we're referencing, actually, and was saying, well, you know, prodigal son, when the prodigal son came home, he didn't sin anymore. And I said, that's very true. I said, but the father ran out to him while he was still a long way off.
Yeah,
and
wow.
helped lead him back into
Amen.
The house. You know, every word of Scripture is there for a reason. We can't just ignore little pieces of it. It's a whole, and it's not just, let me throw, you know, Mark didn't say, let me just throw this bit in here for some narrative thrust. You know,
right.
every word that's
right.
there is meant for us to be paying attention to. Not just the big story that nails in our point, but the little line before it that goes, oh, I didn't think of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, Elizabeth, believe it or not, we only have about 30 seconds left. This has been fantastic. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time. I still would like to get you back on to talk about Little Sins Mean a Lot, because I love that book.
That's a fun book.
Yeah. So would you come back someday?
Sure.
All right. And not to put any pressure on you that we're doing this on the air, but that's what I like to do. Elizabeth Scalia, thank you so much. And remind our listeners where we can follow you online.
Aletea.org is Aletea.org, and that's how you say it, Aletea.
Beautiful, and I will have that linked at Spirit in the Morning, just in case anybody forgets how to spell it. Elizabeth, thank you so much. God bless you.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Elizabeth Scalia talking about our job as missionaries. We got to get out there and spread the good news.
What do quasi-Christian sects like Jehovah's Witnesses and Star Wars have in common? They all talk about a force. For these sects, the impersonal force is the Holy Spirit. They believe this because in John 14:26, the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, is neuter, as opposed to personal terms like father and son. So, how do we respond? Well, first, if we hold to this line of reasoning, we're going to have to say God himself is an impersonal force because he's referred to as spirit in John 4:24. But these sects wouldn't want to make that conclusion. Second, the verse that's used in the objection says of the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. Folks, impersonal forces don't teach. So, the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force. He's a person that we can have a relationship with. I'm Carlo Broussard with A Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Thank you, Carlo. Great information there. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we can have a relationship with him. We forget that. He's real. Make sure you talk to the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for listening to the show today. I thank you also for your prayers, for your comments, and for your donations. Keep in mind that I need additional donations to keep this program going forward. If you're able to help me out, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And just click on donate. While you're there, pick up some Mystic Monk coffee. Just click on the image and you'll get the greatest coffee you have ever experienced in your life. God willing, I'm going to be back on the air tomorrow. Hope you'll be able to join me for that program. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is right by your side. Make sure you turn around and say hi. Until next time, this is Gary Zimak saying so long. The Gary Zimak Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.